The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Read and Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord and offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. Came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law were God to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace, according to your word. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the peoples. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed him and said to Mary's mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. Coming forward at the very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were waiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. Child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. Thank you. One of the essential messages of the gospel is what is called paradox. What does the word paradoxical mean? Paradox means this. Something that seems to be contradictory. Something that seems to be backwards. There's a paradox in the reading today where the prophet Simeon says to Mary that this child is going to be a sign of contradiction. Then he goes on to say, looking at Mary, and a sword is going to pierce your heart. So it seemed to be a very joyful mystery. This is the fourth joyful mystery, but hidden within this joyful mystery is something paradoxical. That there's a real sorrow embellished. I'd like to tell three short stories about this to illustrate the point. And it's this. That God allows evil. He allows evil to bring greater good out of the evil. St. Paul says, where sin abounds, the mercy of God abounds all the more. And the most clear example of this is the contrast between Adam and Eve and Jesus and Mary. You would think the sin of Adam and Eve, I call it a moral tsunami that has its repercussions until the end of the universe. I repeat. The sin of Adam and Eve, called the original sin, has moral repercussions that extends until the end of the universe. All of us are affected by original sin. So they ate from the forbidden fruit. A disaster. But God brings good out of evil. If Adam and Eve had never committed the mortal sin, Jesus would have never come into the world born of Mary. Oh, happy fault, oh, happy fault, oh, happy fault of Adam and Eve that brought us the great Redeemer, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I'd like to expound upon this in our own lives. I'd like to tell you a Chinese proverb and a personal experience that I had when I was your age, all related to the Paschal mystery, the reality of the paradox, the reality of God allowing suffering and even allowing evil to bring greater evil out of it. This is a story. A story I would often preach in my retreats in South America with Father Dave Keeter. And it's a story of a man. He was a farmer. And His horse took off. So he lost his horse and he turned to his spiritual director and said, yeah, bad luck. And the spiritual director said, bad luck, good luck, who knows? Shortly after that, the horse came back with 10 other horses. Huh. He said, hey, what good luck? His spiritual director said, bad luck, good luck, who knows? Buena suerte, mala suerte, quien lo sabe, in Espanol. And then a war broke out. And when the war broke out, these 10 horses were wild horses, so he had to tame these wild horses, so he was taming one of the horses, and the horse threw him up in the air, and he fell down, and he broke his leg. Oh, no, bad luck. His spiritual director said, bad luck, good luck, who knows? In that moment, a war broke out, and because of that, he didn't have to go to war because of his broken leg. Bad luck, good luck, who knows? Who ends up in the hospital. In the hospital, he meets a wonderful nurse. He falls in love with the nurse and he marries the nurse. Bad luck, good luck, who knows? So you could add to the story. You could add to the story. Bad luck, good luck, who knows? And the whole purpose of this Chinese proverb is that what seems to be bad, maybe God has a blessing hidden in what appears to be bad. I'd like to tell you a personal anecdote that happened to me when I was your age. When I was your age, I was different than you in this sense, that I really did not like to go to school. And I know all of you, when you have like a vacation day, Martin Luther King, you're in depression the whole day because you can't go to school. Yeah, I know that it's such an erudite intellectual group that you all love school, so you can't wait until Monday, right? Okay. So when I was in your school, I won an award that I don't think you have in California. It's the Presidential Award of Physical Fitness. I didn't like school, but I was probably one of the best athletes in middle school. And what we had to do were about 5 or 6 activities. You had to do it really well. So pull-ups, I could do, I did 10 pull-ups. Next was the climbing a rope. I was like a little changuito, a little monkey. I climbed a roof like that, no? Then I did the shuttle run. Do you know what the shuttle run is? Oh, you're California, you are deprived. Shuttle run is you got these lines in the gym and you're running back and forth. You touch one and you go back. You touch another, you're going back. I was by far the best in the school because I was fast and I was very coordinated. Then I ran the 50 in 6.5. Okay, 6.5. We were in the 50-yard dash. Then they threw the softball 240 feet. And I was only 4'11", about 95 pounds, which is about a football field, no? So I got an award from the president. That same year, I pitched my first no-hitter because I learned how to throw the curve. So I was heading on the way. I wanted to be a professional baseball player to replace Mickey Mantle in center field. I mean, that was my aspiration. But you know what happened? I've always been very intense. I threw snowballs in the middle of winter and I ruined my arm. Most painful thing in my life. Then I was preparing for cross country and I ran so hard that the cartilage loosened underneath my knee. So I ruined my leg, I ruined my arm. I even went to the best doctors in New York in Greenwich Village and they said, you just gotta be patient, kid. So, you know what happened? I lost 2 years of sports, where I saw my best friends playing baseball and running cross country and performing and getting awards, and there I was just watching them. The two most painful years in my life. I was 14, 15, about your age. And you know, probably if that didn't happen, I probably would have made, you know, probably minor league baseball. Minor league, triple A, probably. Making major leagues is almost impossible. But you know, if that happened, I would never be a Catholic priest. So looking back in retrospect, the paradoxical reality of life, how much suffering I went through. I made so many novenas to St. Jude, I think he got tired with me, no? Begging him to heal me. But as a result of that great suffering, God gave me the greatest gift in the world, the gift to become a Catholic priest, in which I can bring heaven down to earth, and that heaven enters into your heart every time you receive Holy Communion. So I purposely related this personal experience in my life. God allowed me to suffer so much because he has something much better for me. So Jesus Christ, he died on the cross, but he rose from the dead. So I invite all of you sometime today, spend about 5 minutes rewinding the film of your life to see where God allowed suffering, allowed the paradox, allowed the cross in your life to bring out something much better. Let's thank God for the crosses, because beyond the suffering of the cross is the glory of the resurrection. Amen.